Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494. When I woke up this morning, did I think that at 9 o'clock we'd be talking? No, because I thought we'd be in the sixth inning right now. What about the sixth inning?
It just means you woke up too early.
Yeah, I wake up early. I was watching this whole saga play out minute by minute, and it was – fun is not the right word, but it was intriguing to watch the minute-by-minute reaction from, oh, my goodness, baseball's over to, well, maybe not quite, but this is not good, to – they might not play tonight, too. Oh, no, of course they're not going to play tonight as they try to settle all this thing out. Look, I don't know what's going to happen. I do think based on where we're at right now, the idea that baseball should cancel the season today, this moment, is over the top. I think it's overreactionary. But there are issues, and obviously that's why the Phillies and the Yankees are not playing tonight. A day after, well, a game they probably shouldn't have played. Bob Wankel of Crossing Broad, I believe he was there yesterday covering the game. And in retrospect, it seems like a very, very poor decision to play that one, and it was an ugly one to watch. Bob's with us right now. Bob, how you doing, man?
Joe, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing well, trying to sort through, well, all of this, which was actual baseball to react to, but then the reality of what happened this week. And let's start with the not good, and then we'll get to the baseball, which also included some not good. But, Bob, what was your reaction yesterday? I saw a couple things before the game about some positive tests, but I guess I didn't grasp that they shouldn't have played until maybe this morning. Did you have a sense yesterday that something was awry, that maybe they shouldn't be playing the game they eventually played?
Yeah, I was down there yesterday, and you watched the teams taking batting practice before the game, and all of a sudden the field cleared, and then the tweets started rolling in about potentially some Marlins players testing positive, and we didn't really know what was going on. There was like a 20-minute period there where we were kind of waiting to see, and I thought there was a pretty good possibility the game may be canceled yesterday. But then all of a sudden, a few Marlins emerge, a few Phillies emerge. They're stretching, they're throwing, they're getting warmed up. And I said to myself, okay, this is encouraging. And even in light of the fact that there may have been a positive test or two, you know when you're a kid and you kind of say, like, you trust an adult to do the right thing, you trust decision-makers to do the right thing. I kind of thought to myself, well, obviously the professionals have assessed the situation, and in accord with MLB regulations and protocols, obviously everything's okay. We're playing, and I felt pretty good about it. And I guess I felt pretty good about it up until this morning when I woke up and I saw that a couple had turned into 11 total positive tests among the players and a couple coaches, and essentially half of their traveling party now has been affected by COVID-19. And at the time, I thought this was a good thing, and now very clearly it was not.
No, it was a bad decision. And, Bob, the most amazing part and really startling part is that seemingly the decision was made through a group text with the Marlins yesterday. I mean, they found out, obviously, that some of their teammates had tested positive. It doesn't seem like baseball has the exact protocol of what they do when there are positives, but I'll tell you what can't be the protocol. Miguel Rojas and Don Mattingly in the Marlins on a group text saying, yeah, let's go play the game. That just, it seems so outlandish for a sport that has put together, you know, a protocol that has over 100 pages of what they should do and should not do.
Yeah, I think Major League Baseball had an expectation that something like this could happen at some point. So it's a little bit surprising to me that the call was made by the Marlins. And it's also a little bit surprising to me that the Phillies said, and I know not too many people are talking about this, and I don't want to point fingers here, because this is a fluid situation. We're certainly, and I hate this word, it's very played out, but it is an unprecedented situation. You know, we're all kind of feeling for this thing as we go, but to me, you cannot have players and managers be the ones that decide whether or not they're going to put themselves at risk in a situation like this after you get positive results. And Major League Baseball has to do something to make sure that moving forward that they save these players and these coaches from themselves, because I think the inherent nature of an athlete is we want to compete. You know, it's one or two guys. We knew that this was a possibility. Let's go out there and play ball. And I respect that, but you have to take the decision out of the players' hands, out of the coaching staff's hands, and have that third party or somebody with some oversight come in and say, there's just no way this can happen.
Yeah, I agree. And it seems like now baseball is at a crossroads and obviously crossing their fingers that the Phillies are not significantly or hopefully not at all affected by this. And they can try to move forward and deal with the Marlins situation on its own. But there is a feeling, I mean, it happened quickly as all the news started coming out this morning. There's a segment of fans who believe baseball's just shut this down. They have an outbreak already. They can't do this. They can't pull it off. Bob, I'm not in that group. I don't think based on what we know in this moment that baseball should shut down. I mean, I feel like part of this might have been poor protocol management by the Marlins. And I don't think it's fair to punish every team if the Marlins didn't do what they were supposed to or something went awry. Because I'm watching 26 other teams play today, and seemingly they're doing things okay, and there's no outbreaks in those clubhouses. Where do you stand on the season right now based on what happened here this weekend?
I think if you want sports, you have to be prepared to be uncomfortable, you know. We live in a society that is extremely reactionary, especially when it comes to Twitter and social media. And so this news breaks and everyone says, cancel the season, shut it down. It's been real baseball after 3 days. And I think there has to be an understanding. And this is not to downplay the significance or severity of how these players are being impacted. But you had to know to some extent this was entirely possible. And so I'm not at the point where baseball should be canceled or shut down. I do believe, however, that the Phillies testing is going to be important in this. And does it cross from one clubhouse to the other? And at that point, then I think you have a little bit of a situation on your hands. Not that you should cancel the season, but I do think it's entirely possible that if we have a handful of Phillies that come back positive tomorrow, that they may have to sit this thing out for 4 or 5 days. And then I don't know what that does to the integrity of the season, the amount of games played, et cetera. But no, I don't think that baseball should shut it down. I don't think we're anywhere near that. The one thing that really jumped out at me yesterday and throughout the series, really, and I know this has been said by some people, but it was very apparent. The Marlins did not have as much regard for social distancing and the safety measures as some of the other teams I've seen on TV and certainly the Phillies. And I hope if there is one silver lining in all of this, that this will wake up maybe some of the players that are a little bit more lax about this thing, some of the teams, organizations that are a little bit more lax about this thing. It's one thing when one or two guys test positive and you say, okay, well, that's no good. It's another thing when it completely ravages a third of a clubhouse. And so maybe this is a little bit of an eye-opener for certain players, certain teams, and they kind of tighten this thing up a little bit. And that's the one positive in this that I could maybe find, that this has happened so early and that hopefully it's an isolated situation, that it doesn't continue to spread and have an impact moving forward.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if I don't know what it is, but part of it might be a false sense of security these players have because they are getting tested often. Then, oh, we're good. We're all good. Well, a couple days go by, you might not be good. So you can't act like that. And I did see the same thing. Bob, let's hit on a couple actual baseball things. We actually have 3 games to react to. I don't know how many more we're going to have. Hopefully 57. But let's take the 3 we have and have some fun with them. So I think in no uncertain terms, it was a disappointing weekend for the Phillies. They lose 2 out of 3 of the Marlins. They still can't solve this team that just beats them up. Yesterday, they get beat up by a team that was basically ravaged and half the team couldn't play in the game. And Bob, the bullpen was an issue Friday night. It was an issue yesterday. And the Phillies just, I don't know what they thought they could do with this bullpen and not adding more to it, but it feels like their worst nightmares are being realized early on, where they just don't have enough quality arms down there to give them the innings they need, especially now where you have the 3-batter rule, and if Girardi sees a young kid can't do anything, he's stuck with them.
No argument for me on that one. You know, it's a situation where this bullpen is extremely thin. The fact that you saw Austin Davis this weekend, the fact that you saw Cole Irvin this weekend, and I don't want to pick on anybody, and I do believe that a qualifier needs to be stated here, and that is It was three games. It was only three games. But, Joe, the thing that kind of concerns me about what I saw this weekend is that the 2020 Phillies for three games looked a lot like the 2019 Phillies. And so while you can write it off and say, hey, listen, it's only three games, and certainly these are extraordinary circumstances, and I am a little bit hesitant to be overly critical of managerial decisions and player performance in light of what these players are risking on a day-to-day basis. I do think that needs to be said. I wonder what the psychological impact is of this situation and trying to deal with playing through a pandemic, because it is a factor. But that being said, what hurt the Phillies a year ago hurt the Phillies this weekend, and the bullpen certainly was at the top of the list. And it was just a parade of ineptitude yesterday. It was one failing after another. You go to Cole Irvin, you go to Nick Pivetta, Reggie McClain. It was just one problem after another, and it's very much a concern, and it's not something that I expect to correct itself moving forward. This front office simply did not address a glaring need over the course of this past offseason, and I know that there are some high upside, high ceiling arms. Like, I like Ramon Rosso. I believe in him. I actually think he has a good arm. I think he has potential to be eventually a high leverage type of reliever. That being said, to make your major league debut in the situation that he did on Friday night, you can pin that on Joe Girardi, I guess. You could have pinned it on Gabe Kapler a year ago for some of the decisions he made. But to me, these guys are looking down at a menu, and the options just, quite frankly, aren't very appetizing. And that's the way I kind of look at this. And so I expect this to be a problem moving forward. I really do. They're going to have to hit their way, you know, in order to compensate for their pitching deficiencies.
Yeah, look, Kapler wasn't a magician, and Girardi isn't either. He's a more accomplished manager, and he's a good one, but he's not a magician. They're going to need a magician to figure out this bullpen. Bob, you mentioned the offense, and that's where they're going to need to be good. I mean, we talked about that a lot during the lead-up to the season. I sense some frustration among fans for how the offense performed in moments, and they weren't very good situationally, Bob, this weekend. They had a good day Saturday overall, but just situationally not good overall. But I tend to not be as worried about that. I looked at the big picture. They kept getting on base. They kept drawing walks. They didn't strike out, especially Saturday, in an overt amount of times. I think Rhys Hoskins, specifically, 7 walks, only 1 strikeout. So I think generally if they keep, you know, loading the bases up, they're going to score runs. I feel better about the offense, I think, than some other people. What did you think overall offensively this weekend?
I thought there were some positives there. Obviously, there was a little bit of concern yesterday, 2-for-13 with runners in scoring position, 14 runners left on base, left them loaded a couple times. Situationally, they had a chance to claw back into the game. Runners on third, less than 2 outs. I believe Gene Segura and JT Realmuto both failed in those spots. So it was frustrating if you look at the game in isolation, but big picture, I'm not as concerned about the offense. I did ask Joe Girardi about that yesterday. He said, listen, it's way too early to worry about that. More or less, he explained it by that they were just a little over-anxious, extending the strike zone, especially the top half of the strike zone, getting under some pitches. And that was kind of the way that he had explained it. I believe that there were some good signs. I've been very concerned about Rhys Hoskins, both in spring training and in summer camp. And I had been down there pretty much every day, and I just did not like what I had seen from him. But I will say that I believe there is a good hitter in there still. And it's a testament to his ability and his patience that he could work 7 walks, get on base 9 times in a weekend where I don't believe he's really swinging the bat that well. Like, I don't think that he fixed what ails him this weekend, but he still managed to get on base the way that he did. And to me, that's encouraging, because so much of what's problematic for Rhys Hoskins right now, and what I think was an issue for him in the second half of 2019, was that things just sort of snowballed on him. And I wonder if it was less about hitting mechanics and less about the psychology and confidence during his plate appearances. And I certainly don't believe that he ever struggled to the degree that he did a season ago. And so I'm more worried about Rhys Hoskins from a psychological and mental standpoint right now. And so for him to be able to get on base the way he did was encouraging. That being said, he did miss some pitches that were very hittable, that you would like to see a guy in a two-hole of a lineup with a DH. It's essentially an American League lineup. There's plenty of RBI opportunities there. He did miss a couple of those opportunities, but he's still grinding through it, and I thought that was encouraging. And if Rhys Hoskins can return to form, then this lineup for me, though they do have some on-base concerns in the second half of it, they can hurt you at any point. I mean, they are – the word I would use is – dangerous. They're dangerous 1 through 9. They can really cause damage at any point in the lineup, though there are some on-base concerns, I would say, once you get beyond the 5 spot. But overall, I expect this offense to perform well. I'm not overly concerned about that at this point.
Bob, last one for an offensive player. Didi's a good player. I'm not surprised he had a good weekend. When he's hot, he's hot. And Zach Wheeler had a good first start, and he could be a good pitcher. But I think the biggest pleasant surprise this weekend, and I wish we saw more of it before yesterday, was Adam Haseley. I mean, Phil Gosselin did great too. But Adam Haseley, in terms of a big picture thing, I like him. I liked his approach last year. I feel like he gives a good at bat. It's like I feel like I'm watching a veteran in the box, not a kid that has very little major league experience. And yesterday it was outrageous. 4 hits, and I feel like he should be the primary center fielder. I know Joe's going to do a platoon, but I feel like he needs to get more of the at bats there. What's your thoughts on Haseley after the big day yesterday?
Yeah, I agree. He was very impressive yesterday. I thought for the majority of summer camp that Roman Quinn was ahead of Adam Haseley. I thought he outplayed him throughout the 3 weeks. And I think it's very easy to be seduced by the skill set of Roman Quinn. I myself am guilty of that. You look at his ability to track down balls in center field, the wheels that he has. I mean, his speed is elite. I think that there's a decent hitter in there as well. But that being said, Adam Haseley had the game he had yesterday, and hopefully this is a rare situation for the Phillies in recent years where they have a legitimate competition. You know, I mean, there hasn't been a lot of depth. There hasn't been true competition between two players, and I'm hoping that this competition and this fight for at-bats is going to bring out the best in both of them. I agree with you that Joe Girardi is likely to platoon both, certainly in the early part of the season. But I also wonder what happens to Andrew McCutchen. You know, if he can't get it going, do they start to maybe DH him a little bit and possibly get Haseley and Quinn onto the field at the same time? There's just a lot of different ways that this thing can work out. And I do believe when it's all said and done, if there is a season and we do continue to play, that both will certainly get their fair shake of at-bats. So I agree with you. I would certainly roll with Haseley, you know, a little bit more than maybe they were anticipating rolling into this season. But I do think it's going to be what ends up pretty much close to a 50-50 split.
Bob, appreciate you hopping on. Hopefully we'll chat again soon about some games and this thing gets back up and going. I always appreciate you hopping on. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, man. Talk to you soon.
There he goes. Bob Wankel, Crossing Broad, talking some baseball there. Yes, I am a big Adam Haseley fan, and I was one last year, and nothing yesterday made me change my mind. Haseley could play. Sean is in Wilmington talking some Phillies. What's up, Sean?
Hey, how you doing?
Sean, I'm doing well, buddy. What's up?
Man, yo, we all knew our pitching was bad. We knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, we had 3 innings with bases loaded with 1 out. We need hitting.
Well, you know what they have to do? They have to take advantage of those spots, Sean. I am encouraged they kept loading the bases. I mean, that the good thing is they keep putting runners on base, but you're right, they got to knock them in.
Right. They're talking about the pitchers. We had plenty of opportunity to win that game. Plenty.
Well, they did.
Yeah,
I mean, you're right. They could have put up way more runs. They put up 6, which is good. I mean, that's usually good. But they could have had 8 or 9 or 10 in that game. You're right.
And you know what? I ain't got nothing against Girardi, but – Gabe Kapler is playing the best team in baseball,
and he did pretty well.
One of the worst team in baseball, and we got the same record.
No, a worse record. A worse record. They went 2-2. Worse record.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, they played 4 games.
Oh, they played again today. Okay.
Yeah, they played 4.
We
yeah,
didn't play again. Okay.
Yeah.
I ain't got nothing against. I ain't got nothing against Girardi, but you know they all they talk. Kapler is kind of a strange guy. But look, he's playing the best team in baseball. There's no doubt about it. The Dodgers are the best
yes,
team in baseball.
They are loaded. And you're, Sean, you're right. And look, I like Girardi too. And Sean, I appreciate the phone call. I'm a Girardi fan. Just because I think Gabe was a good manager here and did a good job and he got the brunt of criticism doesn't mean I'm anti-Joe. I mean, as soon as they moved on from Gabe, I said, go get Joe Girardi. That guy's an excellent manager. It's not Joe's fault that Ramon Rosso's not ready. It's not Joe's fault that Cole Irvin can't get anybody out. It's not Joe's fault that Nick Pivetta is not what you want him to be. In a lot of spots, he's useless. It's not Girardi's fault. It wasn't Gabe's fault. The team isn't built well enough. That's the issue, and they have to try to hit their way through these problems. But, yeah, did Gabe Kapler have a good weekend? I'd say splitting on the road against the Dodgers is a pretty good start to his run out in San Francisco. And was Joe's first weekend here good? No, obviously not. Phillies lost 2 out of 3 to the Marlins. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. We'll come back. Your phone calls. I want to play something for you on the other side. Kind of a glimpse into what's going on and what's the thought process of baseball. The Dodgers president, he was on MLB Network Radio today talking about, you know, what's going on with the Marlins, and is there a feeling that maybe they have to stop playing? You'll hear this, and I don't think you're going to get the sense that baseball's stopping anytime soon. That's up next, and your phone calls on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.